The September 11, 2012 attack on the diplomatic outpost in Benghazi, Libya, resulted in a day's delayed tepid reaction by the Obama White House, an unwanted YouTube moment featuring former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton at a congressional hearing declaring, "What difference does it make why what happened took place?" And I think most importantly, four dead Americans, including Ambassador Chris Stevens. My next guest is part of a powerful coalition of people with government, intelligence, military experience, who are seeking and, quite frankly, demanding the truth. Here to detail the recent efforts of the Citizens Commission on Benghazi as former CIA operations officer. She's now a senior fellow with the Center for Security Policy, the Clarion Project, and vice president of the Intelligence Summit, Clara Lopez. Good morning, Clara.
Good morning. Thank you.
Let me give you the website, too. It's aim.org/Benghazi. You can find out more about exactly what the Citizens Commission on Benghazi is seeking, and safe to assume a lot, because at least at this point in our conversation, you've issued 55 Freedom of Information Act requests. Among those 55, what's one or two of the key elements or key points of information that you're seeking from the government?
Well, we have submitted these FOIA requests to various different agencies, and those include the CIA, the FBI, and the Department of Defense. And for instance, with the Department of Defense, you know, we're seeking information about the availability of military assets in the region of Libya that could have potentially come to the assistance of our Americans under fire in that mission that night of September 11, 2012. And we're waiting on those. We've submitted other requests asking for communications between and among different agencies. In other words, trying to get at what orders were given or not given as regards Benghazi that night or previously. For instance, we recently had the testimony, second time around, of Mike Morrell, the former deputy, acting deputy director of the CIA, who appeared before Congress a couple days ago. And his testimony concerned those talking points, the talking points that were prepared for Congress, but also used by Susan Rice, then ambassador to the United Nations, on all those talk shows the Sunday after the attack. And so our requests are about, for instance, why were those talking points altered, and who was responsible? It looks like Mike Morrell took responsibility for that, but these kinds of requests, getting at who was behind ordering either the action or the inaction or changing the messaging about what happened there that night.
I guess the key, I think, for the layperson on the outside looking in, the key points of confusion are, A, whether or not it was, as the administration is trying to purport it to be, a spontaneous attack, which I've never seen anywhere in the world spontaneous attack participants show up with rocket launches, for example. You know, it's not like, you know, you call up your neighbor and say, did Ned return the rocket launcher he borrowed from you last month? Okay, good, bring it with you. We're going to have a spontaneous protest down to the embassy. And you alluded to Susan Rice with that mysterious YouTube video, which I think no one other than people in the administration ever saw on YouTube. And she actually fell back on that line just a month ago. She was on Meet the Press, and David Gregory asked her about Benghazi, and once again she regurgitated it was the video stupid.
Yeah, I actually saw that broadcast on Meet the Press that morning, and I was astonished to hear her, you know, repeat her lies, which by now she most certainly knows are lies. It's not as though she hasn't had plenty of time to learn the truth. The problem with those excuses, you know, to use the video as an excuse for non-existent, and as we all know now, non-existent demonstrations or protests at the Benghazi mission before the attack took place, there's a broader problem there, I think, and I wanted to highlight that a little bit, and that is that the narrative of using that film, and by the way, the only person ever held accountable in this entire episode was the filmmaker of the YouTube film called Innocence of Muslims. But the narrative of using that film is about getting at freedom of speech. And this is why it's so important the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, all the Muslim countries of the world, their organization, have as their top objective, and it's online and it's in their speeches in English, the criminalization of the criticism of Islam. And so when you have this video being used as an excuse, it called forth from many of these OIC representatives, for instance, in the United Nations speeches later that month of September, calls to curtail speech, calls to limit free speech, to make illegal criticism of religions. They don't say Islam, but that is what the OIC calls for. So it's far more insidious than even just an excuse. It is rather playing into a larger narrative that would go after our First Amendment rights.
Talking with Clara Lopez, member of the Citizens Commission on Benghazi, a former CIA operations officer, now a senior fellow with the Center for Security Policy and other various organizations seeking truth, AIM.org/Benghazi. We're going to learn more about the Citizens Commission on Benghazi, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. When you submit these FOIA Act requests, do you anticipate getting anything useful? I mean, we've seen, you know, it becomes a joke after a while. More often than not, and more frequently, especially under this administration, you wind up getting back documents that are so redacted, you basically are lucky if you could see every fifth adverb.
Well, you know, we remain hopeful that we will receive back documents that are useful to us. And we look at the example of an organization like Judicial Watch, which has been very persistent on Benghazi, as with many other things, too. And the submission of the FOIA request itself is just the first step. And then if that's denied, there are other steps of appeal and eventually legal action that could be taken. And we're very hopeful that, you know, in the end, we will obtain documents that help us to understand what happened before, during, and after the attack on our mission in Benghazi.
That's certainly hopeful, given the fact of the lack of focus or even lack of interest by both parties in Congress. And, you know, when you look at the performance of Obama, both that evening, which, again, is one of the great mysteries, ranks up there with the Loch Ness Monster, basically. What was Obama doing that night? I mean, you can safely assume, given his itinerary the next day, catching his 8 hours of beauty sleep so he can get to a Las Vegas fundraiser. But with his reluctance to even call what happened in Benghazi a terrorist act, he went as far as a general putting it under the umbrella of an act of terror in that Rose Garden statement on September 12th. Again, if the head of the snake is doing those actions and taking that philosophy of that, doesn't that give cover to those under him to follow suit?
Yeah, apparently it sure did. And that brings us back again, you know, to those talking points, which seem to be the narrative, the outline for the next 2 weeks following the attack. The talking points that were issued by the CIA and altered by Mike Morrell. And the problem with that is that, as originally written, and we've seen these now because they've come out in different House committee, or I should say congressional committee reports, originally the talking points were quite straightforward. It was Islamic terrorism. It was a terrorist attack. It named Al-Qaeda. I think it named Ansar al-Sharia, the group later found to be behind those attacks, leading the attacks. And then the doctoring of the talking points took all that out, removed Islamic terrorism, Islamic terror group, or Al-Qaeda. And in the testimony just a couple days ago in front of Congress, Mike Morrell even went so far as to admit openly that he took out those words because he didn't want to offend the Muslim world. Or maybe he said inflame. Same thing. He is pandering to the threat of violence from the Islamic world, from the jihadis, in order to appease them not to attack anymore, which, of course, is the entire purpose of terrorism from the Islamic jihad world, which is to cow the enemy, us, the opponent, to such an extent that we will simply acquiesce, submit, and appease. And that's what he did. That's exactly what he did when he admitted that he changed those talking points and took out those words. Because everybody knew at the very first beginning of those attacks that this was terrorism. It was a military-style assault, as you were saying before. You don't just go to a protest carrying your RPG. And the top levels of our leadership in the military, in the intelligence, and in the executive, the White House, knew that in the first minutes. And yet they chose to lie about it publicly. That, perhaps, is even the most troubling thing of all, because it speaks to a willingness to appease the attacker. Please don't hurt me anymore. I won't call you out on this. That only invites more aggression.
Not to oversimplify, it's giving the bully the lunch money. In this case, it was the lives of four Americans. And, again, it shows through the lack of leadership from particularly the Oval Office with an occupant who refuses time after time after time to even acknowledge intel briefings, never mind attend intel meetings, that it's a weak state, that there are too many out there that they feel can be taken advantage of, and this is one of those tragic cases. To learn more about the Citizens Commission on Benghazi, AIM.org/Benghazi. We've been joined this morning by one of the commission members, as well as a former CIA operations officer, Claire Lopez. Claire, thanks so much for the way that your organization is seeking the truth and the facts. Thanks for being here this morning.